belong till it's over. And God will call us home to receive heaven's final great reward. All our battles fought and won, we'll hear Him say, "Well done, enter into the glories of the Lord." We're going to be with Jesus. I'm going to read tonight from 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. If you are familiar with that scripture, and if you've been in Bible study in this church for any time, you are familiar with 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Before I read the text, I want to mention the words of Jesus when He was with His disciples in Caesarea Philippi. He made these statements. He said, "I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And I say, amen. What a statement. "I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And so I want to make a statement right here tonight. All the powers of Satan, all the powers of the demons, all the powers of the ungodly, all the powers of Christian haters, all the powers of hell is not going to be able to destroy the church. Bible lets me to know the church is built on the rock. It's anchored in truth. It's been purchased by the blood. It's been sanctified. It's been anointed and empowered by the Holy Ghost. It's been kept by faith. Hallelujah. And we're promised that not only the church is going to survive all the difficulties and the storms, whatever they might be, we're going to go out of here with victory. We're going to cross the finish line shouting the praises of God. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that excites me. And the way to cross the finish line with victory is to run with victory while we're on this pathway to glory. Listen to the verse of a song the choir sings. "For His kingdom is returning, dressed in robes of purest white. Soon He'll call His waiting bride away. I'm so anxiously awaiting, and it won't be very long. Heaven's choir is now preparing for that day. Then we'll hear the trumpet sound, see graves bursting all around, as the Savior calls them forth from the sod. I'm so glad I'm a member of the blood-bought church, the church of the living God. I'm glad tonight that I'm a part of the church of the living God." Hallelujah, hallelujah. Remember the text that I used last Sunday night from the writings of Paul. "Now," he says, "now thanks be unto God. Now thanks be unto God which always causes us to triumph in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now thanks be to God that we are always victorious." I'm glad tonight that we are destined for the skies. We are not going under. We are going over for the glory of God. I'm going to read from the 4th chapter of 1 Thessalonians. I'm going to read from the 13th verse. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of God, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the trump of God, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." I'm going to stop there. We shall be caught up together with the Lord to meet the Lord in the air. Paul is saying the redeemed of the Lord, the born again, the blood washed, are going to be caught up. In essence, he was saying there's going to be a catching away. Now, the word rapture is not in the Bible, but I'm going to preach tonight. There will be a rapture. You believe that? There will be a rapture. And the wonderful part about it is we can all be ready. We can all be a part. On the night before Jesus was crucified, Jesus said, and this is another familiar scripture, they were either gathered in the upper room, the chamber of the Passover, or either they were on their way over to the Garden of Gethsemane that last night with the disciples. And Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house Or many mansions, if it were not so, I would have told you, I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. I want to stop right there. If I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And I say, amen. Thank God, thank God. Jesus had told them that he was going away, and they were sort of saddened, and now he's giving words of encouragement to his disciples, and they're all of these words are for us as well. In essence, he's saying, these words, he's saying, there is going to be a rapture. I went to the 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the graves and the dead shall rise and be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Do you know what Paul was saying? There's going to be a rapture. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Philippians 3:14, when giving his testimony, Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I thought, yes, the prize of the high calling, the upward calling, the higher ground. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What Paul was saying when he wrote to the Philippians, I'm on my way, I'm pressing on, I'm seeking God, I'm obeying God. He knew that he had been, was engaged in a battle, he was in a fight for his life, but listen closely, Paul was determined that he was going to fight the good fight of faith. He was determined that he was going to see the battle won. He was determined to finish the course that would be outlined for him from the Lord. He was determined to keep the faith in spite of all the opposition and the temptations and the trials that came along with it. And the Bible lets me to know that he was confident that there was going to be a rapture. So, he was determined to be a part of it. I'm preaching tonight on the rapture. There is going to be a rapture. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Turn the page. I'm going to read from the first verse. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child. They shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. You're all the children of light and the children of the day. We're not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ. What he is saying, Brother Jones, I'm saying in that second verse, Paul is writing and he says, there's going to be a day of the Lord. Now, let me stop right there tonight. There's a lot of discussion. There's a lot of debate, even argument sometime, as to what Paul was talking about. What time was Paul talking about the day of the Lord? And so I want to clarify tonight. He was talking about the day of the Lord when the Lord comes in the clouds. He's talking about the day when the Lord catches away his bride. In that day the saints have been looking for. It's the day that we've been longing for all of these years. Hallelujah. The day of the Lord is the day of the rapture. Then the ninth verse. As born again believers, we are not dreading. And let me stop right there. We are not dreading the coming tribulation. If I were not saved tonight, knowing what I do, no, I would dread another day. When I was unsaved, I dreaded the thought of dying in my spiritual condition. I dreaded the thought of the Lord coming and me be left behind. But as Christians tonight, we do not dread the thought of the tribulation that is going to break across this land, and with the multiplied thousand that will die, and the famine, and all that are perishing, because when that tribulation breaks across the land, we're going to be with the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The prophecies of the end time are being fulfilled every day. The day of the Lord is at hand. The trumpet could sound at any minute. The church is about to get out of here. We're about to experience the great reunion time, and we're going to meet together right out there, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. That's going to be a rapture. That's why we look up, Jesus said, when Luke was writing, Jesus said, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. That's why our eyes are on the Lord. That's why we're watching. That's why we're waiting. That's why we're praying. That's why we've prepared ourselves. There is going to be a rapture. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 3. Behold, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Some of the most wonderful words in all of Scripture. We are the people of God now. We are the redeemed of the Lord now. We are the members of the family of God now. We are joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ right now. And to go along with all of that, we know that when that day comes, there's going to be a transformation. Now, I went over the thoughts that I had jotted down this afternoon and went over them tonight again after coming to church, but let me just leave this with you. When that day comes, there is going to be a transformation. Now, I hope that I can get this across to every one of us tonight. The Bible makes mention of these bodies as made of clay. And so when you look at yourself, and I look at myself, we don't have a lot to be proud of. We are just dirt bodies. Dirt. You ever see children playing the dirt? Make all kinds of things. That's what we are. We're dirt. I was thinking about it tonight here, and this afternoon as I was going over in my mind the Sunday night. We are nothing. We were made from the dust of the earth. But one of these days, this dust and dirt is going to put on immortality. The Bible says that the body is like a tent, and the tent is going to be dismantled, and we're going to move out and have a new body. Hallelujah. I have said that we are like the grass of the field that is here today and fades away and is gone. And I want you to know there's going to be another day. Hallelujah. Thank God, there's going to be a rapture. And this is the thought that I want to bring to your attention right now. When the trumpet sounds, and this body, this mortal body is put aside, and we put on immortality, we're going to have a glorified body like the body of the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I can't understand that. I cannot fathom what it's all about. It's going to be eternal. It's going to be forever. It's going to be forever and forever and forever. But I cannot understand what the glorified body is living in. They're going to be like, but one thing I know, it's going to be what I've got now. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, if you will, what the Bible says. When that day comes and we're going to have a transformation, that means there's going to be a change. Hallelujah. In the twinkling of an eye, Paul said in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and now John says, and when that change comes, we're going to have a glorified body. Like they told folks, I'm not worried about the tribulation. I'm not worried about the Antichrist. I'm not worried about the mark of the beast. I'm not worried about the battle of Armageddon. I'm going to be saved in the arms of the Lord over on the other side. Hallelujah. In a glorified body. Hallelujah. That's going to be a rapture. Thank God. Hallelujah. God, I'm glad tonight that we have the Scriptures. There is going to be a rapture, and we're going to be changed, and we're going to have a glorified body. But this is the part, I'm going to be brief tonight, but this is the part that I want to just share with you. This is the thought that God gave me last Wednesday night late at the church at home. I want to come back to the 4th chapter of 1 Thessalonians. I want to read again. from the 13th verse, just as I read. In that fourth chapter. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which have died in the Lord, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, that's redeemed of the Lord, will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself, and this is the part I love, for the Lord himself shall descend from, with a shout, from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And that's where I stopped a few moments ago, but I want to read that 17th verse again. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. So shall we ever be with the Lord. I said it before, I'm going to say it again. I cannot fathom, I cannot understand, I cannot tell you tonight how all about eternity. In our finite minds, there are some things that we can grasp. There are some things that we understand, but to be forever with the Lord. That means eternity. That means forever. And you and I can't picture that. Or I should say, I can't picture that. It's going to happen. But I can't even hardly grasp it because we are tied to time. And days and whatever. Let me just use an illustration or two. I can understand Noah in the ark, and for 40 days it rained. 40 days. And then for a year in that ark. That's a long time. But Noah knew that one day he's coming out of the ark. I went further and I came to Elijah, and I can understand when Elijah said there's going to be no rain. There's going to be a famine in the land for the next 3.5 years, and can I say so? Now, I can understand 3.5 years. We spent 3 years in Edom. And so I can understand 3.5 years, how long that is, but Elijah said 3.5 years of famine, but in the family's over, the Lord's going to bless. And then I thought, how about that the children of Israel? How that they were 40 years. Let me go back. Joseph sold by his brothers down in Egypt into Potiphar's house. And then when he was lied upon and the rest ended up in jail. I can understand 17 years in jail. I've never had to spend 17 years in jail, but I can understand somebody 17 years in jail. I believe all of that time. I don't read one word that God has said to Joseph, after 17 years, I'm going to bring you out. I don't believe that Joseph even knew that he was coming out. But I believe that Joseph loved God in the midst of it all. But after 17 years, God brought him out. I can understand 17 years. I can understand 4 years of the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness. 40 long years, God said, 40 long years, you're going to be in the wilderness. I can understand 40 years, people could count them all, but 40 years is coming up. But at the end of 40 years, they're going to be out of the wilderness. I can understand that. I can even understand the 70 years of the children of Judah in Babylonian captivity. Jeremiah had prophesied and said, because of your idolatry and because of your sinful ways, you're going to be taken into captivity by another nation, and you're going to serve the enemy, serve as a slave for 70 years. And so I can understand that Daniel, when he began to study the books and finding out how many that 70 years is going to be up, and then that seven weeks that God had talked about, 70 weeks that God had talked about, listen, I can understand 70 years. I can tell you tonight some things that happened 70 years ago. I can understand 70 years. But I'm going to confess, it's hard for me to explain the wonders of eternity. Forever. The eon of ages.
Paul said, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm getting anxious to lay this body aside. Now, I'm not anxious to die. I'm just anxious for the rapture. I'm anxious to try on my new body. And I know it's going to be perfect. I'm anxious to take on what God is waiting for me and for you. There is going to be a rapture. I quoted the first three verses of the 14th chapter of John. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And I'll stop right there. The rest of the verse that says, that where I am, there you may be also. There's something about what God spoke to my heart last Wednesday night in bed. Forever with the Lord. I mentioned maybe last Sunday or the Sunday before when my brother had lived without God and came down to leukemia, and I had the opportunity to talk with him and pray with him. And I had in the back of my mind, God, don't let him go to hell. I thought about eternity, how it's going to be forever and forever in the torments of the damned, but I can't understand. I can't fathom how terrible it is. Nor can I understand the beauty of forever with the Lord. I want to leave some things with you tonight. There's going to be a reunion. This is Mother's Day. I mentioned this morning that my mother has been gone 35 years. I had a wonderful mother. Some of the best members I've ever had was when she read the Bible and we gathered around the kitchen table and prayed. And if Daddy was in the house and come in from the barber shop, he led his prayer. Oftentimes, he would pray for each of the children by name. Not just, Lord, bless my family, but he would call the names, and he called Captain, and she's the oldest. And then brother, my older brother. And then me. Then Ross, and then Jean, that's before Pete came along. I remember kneeling at the kitchen table, the Lord's table in the Lord's kitchen. On my knees before the Lord and my dad praying. My mama always set the table at a certain place, and I sat right beside her. Daddy at the head of the table, mama, his land, and I was there. That was my seat. I didn't shoot it, I just sat there. And we all had a break. Did you have that? Did you have nowhere to sit when you went to the table? You didn't get anybody else to see you. You said, where are you supposed to sit? Never had that happen. I don't even inside Mama. Mama's praying. Dad's praying. They're praying for the children. Sometimes parents, you might feel or think that it doesn't make any difference, but it does. Something is a hole, something way down in your heart. You're here tonight, and I'm here tonight because somebody loves. Somebody prayed. He prayed for us. He loved us. He gave his life for us. And I thought about those words, forever with the Lord. Forever with the Lord. Forever with the Lord. Yes. I woke up the next morning and I thought, that'll be, I'm going to try to preach that. And I began to try to get something together and I couldn't make anything make sense. And so I thought the only way that I'm going to be forever with the Lord is to live by that. I'm going to be in the rapture. So I thought, Lord, I'd preach the rapture so that I can be forever with the Lord. Amen. And tonight, if I could instill anything in the hearts and lives of this church, whatever you do, live so that you can be forever with Him. I've been in the Bible group. I found out that there'll never be another battle when we get on the other side. Satan will never bother us again. Thank God. Brother, that's another shout about it. Hear me forever, forever, forever. I'm shocked. Well, go away. There'll never be any sickness. There'll never be any pain. Brother Fred, there'll never be another headache. Brother Crawford, there'll never be any more suffering of emphysema or asthma or lung disease or whatever. Never be any shortness of breath in that day. In our glorified body, brother, it's going to be forever. Thank God, thank God, thank God, no more pain, no more sickness. that I was raised in church with and went to high school with. She was a year ahead of me in high school, but I've been really together since 1942, 1941, somewhere along that, in church and in school. And in my brother's church, she's a member of my brother's church, and she passed away. And at the funeral tomorrow, and I thought, there's going to be another day for the redeemed, brother. There's going to be a forever of the Lord. This is not all of life. You might live to be 70 or 75 or 80, or I could think only 94, but this is not all of life. There's going to be a rapture and a forever with the Lord. Man, if I could preach that to the whole world, this is the best news in the world.
It is. Amen.
Nothing better than to have a guarantee,
yes.
A written guarantee,
yes.
In the Word, that we shall forever be with the Lord. I'm going to let my mind just run wild here. I believe this. I believe in that day, I'm going to see Abraham and know him. And I'm not going to have to introduce myself as that cornfield preacher from Hampton, Virginia. Abraham's going to know me. And we're going to fellowship. Anything you want to talk to Abraham about? How did you feel you could raise a child by your wife, Sarah, when you were 100 years old? Oh, we're going to see Moses. If there's anybody in the Bible that I had to feel sorry for, it was Moses. He obeyed God. He's in the people and they're complaining all the time. 40 long years of murmuring and complaining, he's obeying God. Lord, I'm going to be done with no murmuring and complaining in the glory of God. Go out!
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. On down the line. I'm going to talk to David. That's his wife. I'm going to. David, how did you feel when you put that one stone in the sling? You began to wind that thing over your head, wherever you did it. How did you feel when you knew where it was going, when you knew that you were going to take him down? How did you feel, David? Praise God. Forever. We'll not be any lost. We're going to be there forever. I won't have to leave. I'll go see Daniel. Daniel, did you get a good night's sleep in the lion's den? He was with the chest right in the body. And on down the line, brother, we got a lot to talk about. We got a lot to ask him about. We're going to have to think about it. When I was a boy, and it was news in this, in church of my ministry, when I heard Brother Hubert Smith, look down at my dad, he became bishop of the denomination, look down at my dad, said, Brother John, I'm going to come meet you in heaven and say, a million years. This is what he said. Then I'm going to go on down the street and visit, and he said, somebody else. I think Brother Hubert Smith, it's a long time. But forever. Can you imagine? And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Not talking about no pain, no sickness, no sorrow, no suffering, no death. But the greatest thing about heaven is not going to be seeing Mama, and I'm going to see Mama, and Daddy, I'm going to see him, and Abraham, and Moses, and the rest. We're going to see Jesus. We're going to see Jesus. And this is the important part of that. Now we're going to close. This is the important part of that. Sometimes we come to church and the Lord just blesses. We come by and come in our lives and we sing and we weep and we cry and we rejoice and we enjoy the good things of God. And then we leave the church and go on our way, and sometimes we feel like we're fighting the battles alone and the hardships that are out there, but when we get there, it's going to be forever with the Lord. Forever with the Lord. He's going to be so close. And listen, tonight we can see him. We're going to see him then. Can you imagine? Forever with the Lord. Some of the best words in the Bible. My wife is here at the piano. I never had that thought. I never thought of a sermon about what I know the Lord until Wednesday night in the middle of the night. When those words came to me, and I had tried and tried on Thursday to come up with something. And as I tried to preach, I thought, I said, folks, whatever you do, there's going to be a rapture. People tonight are mocking and laughing. I glanced at the paper. I didn't read it. Didn't have time to read it, but I glanced at the paper. And since our president made the statement he made about gay marriage, seems like there's been a lot of excitement among the gay society, and they've raised millions and millions of dollars. They think that everything now is in their favor, that our president should ever be reelected, and I'm not here making a political speech, but I want you to know how right now our country's in bad shape. And we're losing out in the Christian Judeo principles of our nation. Upon which we were founded, America is forever away from God. But the saints of God, and I'm going to say, the saints of God are going to be forever with the Lord. Now, if that can get a hold of you tonight, if that can get right down in your soul, if that can somehow get a hold of your spirit, thinking about forever, forever,